In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Psalm 2 is a straightforward psalm. It's usually understood as a royal psalm, and also as a messianic psalm. And it does have connections to the Messiah. It does have connections to the King of Zion. That means Jesus. And for our devotion today, for our chapel today, it conveys a picture of a situation present in the life of all of us. Two major questions are answered by this Psalm number 2. First, who is our God? And second, what are we supposed to do with this God? Just following the reading of the Psalm, we first hear voices of rebellion. Kings and rulers of the earth sit together to plot against God and His anointed. The text says that they take device together on the best way to get rid of God. They say, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away the cords from us." That means this is a poetic imagery depicting a rebellion against God. Who are those kings? Who are those rulers? We don't know for sure. But what we know is that they are deliberately making plans against God and His anointed one. They want to be free from God. And by doing so, they attempt at becoming gods to themselves. This is a strong picture. It shows the human being standing against God. The creature wants to be creator. These people are trying to play God. And what is God's reaction? Just reading the psalm, where the picture keeps going on. And it's quite vivid when it says that God is sitting in His heavenly throne. And sitting there, He's watching down to see what's going on in planet Earth. Up there, God is laughing of those who try to get rid of Him. Yes, He is mocking at them. He's saying, "Who are those guys? What they think they are?" So the psalm says that God will speak to them in His wrath and terrify them in His fury. This is serious. This is terrible law. But the text also surprises us when we keep just reading the text. It brings an unexpected statement from God. It says, it reports God's voice when He says, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill." Suddenly God changes the subject of the conversation. He turns to the king on Zion, the real king of the universe. We know who he is. It's the anointed one. It's the Messiah. It's Jesus. So God wants to direct the attention of the kings and rulers to another direction. He is saying something like this: "You are trying to be free from me, and you are trying to be gods to yourselves. This is foolish, and you cannot make it. But look, I have something much better for you. I have the real king, the one who rules from Zion for your benefit. It's the anointed one. It's Jesus." After laughing, mocking, and preaching the law to those kings, now God points them the Savior, Jesus Christ. God directs them to the gospel and tries to bring them to the Messiah. Then we reach our today's reading. Now in the psalm, the speaker is the King of Zion, the Messiah. He reports what God thinks about him, and God says, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." And this is the reason, this verse is the reason for having this reading in the week when after the Sunday when we celebrated the baptism of Jesus. God will give the nations, the Gentiles, as Christ's heritage and possession. Christ will rule them. against God and his Messiah will be treated with rod of iron and will be dashed in pieces like a potter's vessel, according to verse 9. Well, you know that there's no way to fix a clay pot back to its original status. So this is, in the picture, this is the end of those standing against God. So up to here, we have been dealing with the text. But certainly the text has a lot to do with us. I don't think "vas" in this place here is used to any deliberate plotting against God. I'm sure that all of us strive to please God always. However, the text points to a spirit of rebellion against God. In front of this, we must ask ourselves if we have always been faithful to our Christian faith. Have we tried to play God and to be God to ourselves sometimes? Isn't the case that sometimes we do have a personal spirit of rebellion? How many times we try to guide our lives by what we thought should be done? How many times we got mad with God for something that happened in our life? Sometimes we don't have money. Sometimes our health fails. Sometimes things will not go right at home with our wife, husband, and kids. Those may be occasions when we say, "Come on, God, where are you? What have you done to me? Why are you against what I think is the best for my life? Why didn't you give me that job, that money, that position, that call, that church to lead, that easy life? Why do you keep being God and doesn't pay any attention to what I wish?" In the explanation of the first commandment, Luther says as follows: "That to which your heart clings and entrusts itself, that is really your God." So, where is my God? Who is my God? If you want to be honest, we must concede that sometimes we play God to ourselves, perhaps deep in our heart, so that nobody will know that we're trying to be creators. Surely this is no good, and it leads to God's wrath and to God's condemnation. So how can we then prevent such a rebellious spirit? We find the answer again in the text of Psalm 2. Verse 11 says, "Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice in with trembling, and also kiss the Son." The unique clause, there's a lot of discussion among scholars, the unique clause, "kiss the Son," in a very simple way means to believe in God's Son, to consider him as our King and Savior, to hold fast to him, and wait from him all good things. So the Psalm directs us to the Messiah. It suggests us to cling to Jesus. There's no getting rid of God, but rather serving him with gladness. It means offering him the best of our lives. We do this when we are faithful to God's word. We serve him when we dedicate our lives to him. We serve him when our family is raised in the fear of the Lord. We serve him when we let God be God and go about our vocation as husbands, wives, professors, students, officers, employers, employees, etc., each of us in his or her situation. When we do this, there will be no time for rebellion against God. There is so much to be done in the family, in church, in society, and we will be so busy that there will have no time left for plotting and getting rid of God. Actually, we'll need God's help to do what we are supposed to do. The King of Zion, the Anointed Son, he is the one who will guide us with his gospel. Then the two questions before us were answered by Psalm 2. First, who is our God? The answer, it's the Anointed One. It's the King of Zion. It's Jesus. And question number two, what are we supposed to do with this God? The answer is very simple according to the Psalm. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Rejoice in Him always. Kiss the Son. Therefore, we may apply to us the last clause of the Psalm, the conclusion of the Psalm. Blessed are those who take refuge in Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.